Eddie.
Hey Eddie, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Sorry, I couldn't remember the code, and as I was trying to come downstairs so I could make a phone call, everybody grabbed me.
Oh, no problem at all. I don't shoot you those back-to-back texts as an annoyance vector or because I'm
No.
panicked. It's just a reminder tick down, you know.
No, dude, believe me, it's well needed. And
I
it's so
understand.
easy, especially since I don't have this on my calendar for it to buzz and let me know because of, well, of where I work.
Right. Joseph Higby. Hello, Joseph.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's Michael Rogers. Glad you could make it. We've got Eddie on the line here. Eddie, this is Joseph. Joseph, this is Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Hey, Jess, how are you?
I'm well. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. Forgive me if you hear a lot of noise in the background. I'm actually having to walk outside to have this call, so therefore, unfortunately, I don't have your resume in front of me either.
Okay.
So basically, I don't get reception up at the client site where I'm at right now, so I have to step outside. So basically, why don't you just do this? Why don't you take a few minutes? First off, do you go by Joseph or Joe? Or does it
I go
matter?
by Joseph. Yeah, I go by
Joseph,
Joseph.
okay. All right. Well, why don't you take a few minutes,
Call
Joseph,
me
and just
anything.
tell us a little. Yeah, I hear you. Except for late for dinner, huh? Take a few minutes and tell us a little bit about your IT career and what you've done, and in
Okay.
any areas of specialty.
Okay. I pretty much I'm a IT generalist. I grew up with computers, starting as a kid, and I went in the military and I worked on missile systems. And when I started having some, it was time to get out of the military. We'll just say that. And after 9 years, and I just went into computers. I started on my bachelor's degree in computer engineering technology. I got a job hired there with the college. Doing their IT tech support, so I started working there. I got a wonderful offer to work with a new up and growing company, so I went ahead and went with them, and it was doing great. We were doing what we called network in a box, and it was basically back in the NT351 days and NT4, and we were doing a complete package that we were selling and supporting. That was voicemail. File server, print server, remote access, remote administration, that kind of thing, application server. And I did that for about 10 months, and then the company decided they were going to sell it out. They sold it out, so I was without a job.
Oh,
I
no.
was still trying, yeah, I was still trying to work on my degree in the same process, but I was getting a lot of hours at that time. So I continued on my degree, but then I got picked up with a company called the Broadbent Company. They wanted an IT desktop support person, but they didn't really have a plan. They were just new to technology. In fact, they had 3 Novell file servers, no internet access, and only about 5 people had workstations at that time.
Oh,
That was in
wow.
February. Yeah, that was in February of 2000. I told them when I hired on, I said, I'm capable of a lot more. If you guys are willing to grow, I'll help you grow. So me and we had an IT manager who was she was actually degreed in business and oh, I forget what it was. Anyway. She wasn't really IT focused, so I worked with her, and we worked with a third party company to build up the network to the point where we had full network capability, full internet access, and everyone had a workstation. Then we started going supporting. This was a real estate company, but we also had a sister company in conjunction with it, which was a general contractor, construction contractor. So
Oh, okay.
I had to provide field laptops for them and support them, And then we expanded into self-storage facilities in Florida, and I had to build workstations and support that as well. So in that process, that 8 years, we built out, we had about 10 servers. We were starting to do virtual machines just before I left there. And we installed and built the Exchange server, went to Exchange 2003, went to Server 2003, and I had over 100, by that time I had about over 100 client computers and 20 field laptop users, as well as three, and we were still growing, three self-storage facilities in Jacksonville, Florida. I pretty much managed all of that. Now, I did have third-party support when I needed special transactions, or I need additional manpower to make it all come together. And you know, I didn't have some of the advanced knowledge that they had that I could utilize. So I kind of managed the process, and of course I supported all of it. Anything went wrong with the servers, I was the first one to deal with it. I managed the Active Directory, I managed the users, I managed the firewall. All the scripting, the login script.
How many servers did you say you had?
10 servers.
Okay.
I had an antivirus server, I had a file and print server, I had backup servers, I had utility server, I had, of course, the Active Directory, the main file and print server, and I just managed all of it. And then, of course, the next role of that company in 2008, that's 2007, 2008, the downturn in the economy really hit them first since they were in the real estate market. So they started cutting people. They brought in a cheaper person to keep on, and they outsourced to the third party all the duties that I was pretty much doing. And then I got picked up with a company, IBM. I got picked up with them for a user administration across an enterprise domain, working for a company called Covance, which is a company that provides drug development all the way from the point of concept through marketing and through all the clinical trial testing and all that. And basically, I was a team of 7 people that we administered the enterprise. All the accounts and the applications, and then slowly they began to outsource. They decided to outsource that to India, and then.
And you said you did that through a company. Which company did you do that through?
I actually worked for IBM, but the client was Covance.
Okay, and what year was that?
That was 2008 until just this past December.
Oh, okay. Did you ever hear of a Rob Phillips there?
Who?
Rob Phillips, ROB.
Maybe. I touched base with a lot of people. He doesn't sound familiar.
My brother actually runs all of IBM's networks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't work directly with IBM. I worked on the client site all the time. So I never,
okay.
I only interfaced with a couple of the, Sal Bongiorno was my IT manager.
Okay. So what was your speaking about that more recently, what did you do on a day-to-day basis there? Just one or two high-level things. You said user administration?
Yeah, user administration. We would create accounts, remove accounts. We worked with the Exchange. They had 5.5 and 2003, and then they had a bunch of proprietary applications.
In 2008, they had 5.5 still?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's a huge enterprise. Covance is actually worldwide, and they've got offices all over the world. So we were trying to bring all of that together and bring it all up to date. But when you have such a cross mix of legacy stuff, you can't just dump it. You have to, everybody's got their own little, this belongs to me and that belongs to me, and you have to manage the politics behind it as well.
All right, and did you actually do any of the upgrades from Active Directory? What version of AD were they running? 2000?
They were running, 2008.
Okay. So they didn't have 2003 whenever you were there?
Yeah, they said they still had some of the 2003 servers. They had 2000 servers, 2003 servers, and then 2008. So they weren't in the elevated mode, I'm sure, or at least.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine they could be.
All right. Well, that's good. So at least they had modern AD infrastructure, at least fairly. And so, how about scripting? Did you have to do any login scripts or anything for them?
Only basic batch scripts. But no, I didn't do for them. I had to do that on my own when I was working with the broadband company.
Okay.
When I was
with the broadband company,
I had to go from Novell to Exchange. So we actually had to do a migration and everything.
Okay. And what product did you use to do that, group-wise, to Exchange migration?
We actually used third-party company worked with Microsoft to develop a custom utility.
Okay.
So for the most part, we actually had most of the people clean up their mailboxes as best as possible. Then we dumped them out to PSTs.
Okay. You dumped, transported, and re-imported the PSTs?
Yes.
All right. How about with IBM? Did you work with group policies at all, or workstation side?
No, I did some group policy work when I was starting to implement some group policies for security purposes when I was with the broadband company, but I didn't do any of that with Covance.
Okay. Well, here, let me tell you a little bit about the project that's going on here. It's a global company. The goal is worldwide. They've got data centers pretty much all over the place. There's two particular data centers of extreme interest to us. One of them is in Maryland, another is in Indiana. And only because those are the two most easily accessible for us to get into without a top secret security clearance.
Right.
And so what we're doing is it's an Active Directory and an Exchange migration. So we're doing all their AD from one forest to a total of three forests, which adds a degree and a level of complexity to it to begin with. There are thousands of workstations. I think there's about, I forget the number of users now. I want to say 25,000. 30,000 different objects that's going on out there, as far as workstation and user objects. So it's a fairly large scale migration.
Sure.
And the size of the migration isn't really the scary part. The scary part is the timeline they've put on this. So we're doing an Exchange migration the same way. It's a double tiered or double pronged Exchange migration, and going to basically three different Exchange organizations.
Right.
In a nutshell, what's happening is the federal government's come in and said, okay, well, we need for this company to divest of it. And by this date, and this date is a very close date, by October 1, these guys have to be totally functioning as three totally different companies in every single aspect. Three total different P&Ls. That means we've got to do workstation migrations, user migrations, server migrations, application migrations, Exchange migrations. Three times on all these users across all the data centers.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly large project. Now we got a team of architects on site. I'm one of them, and we'll actually be taking the lead of setting up exactly what to do and how to do it. But we need some people that can actually help and assist and be another second pair of eyes. Even though we do these types of migrations quite often, you always miss stuff.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we need is somebody that can assist in capturing on paper some of the stuff that we're kind of spouting out. Putting down into processes so that everybody can follow that. We'll probably select one or two of the people. At least this is my game plan right now. This is probably subject to change, but my initial plan right now is to find one or two people that I think has a good capacity to learn and to follow through with the processes that we set down and document, and actually allow them to do some of the migrations alongside me instead of me having to do it all.
Right.
When it comes down to the Active Directory side. We got another architect that's primarily doing the Exchange side, and we'll probably do the same thing with them. So that's kind of what we're looking at. It's very high, very fast-paced, very, very fast-paced. It's going to be probably high stress, but for a short duration. Duration should be, they have to have this done by October 1, so our goal is to have it done by the company. They're forcing us, our hand, to commit to them that we can primarily have this stuff done sometime right around August 1. We got a little bit of fudge room, so right now we're saying it's all the way through July, but possibly and potentially can go into August. In addition to that, these guys are losing a lot of their knowledge base. So a couple of people will probably be asked to stay on to the project, and they might work from one data center or the other, either Indiana or Maryland. Once we get to that point, we could probably negotiate which data center would be the easiest for the person to transport to or to commute to. But the client is most likely going to ask two or three of the people to stay on to provide support work like user administration and things of that nature, at least through the end of the year, if not through January or February of next year, so they can get up to speed on the new environments. So that's more of a pie in the sky and icing on the cake. That's not, you know, primary focus, but we know that that's a possibility. They're already asking for that. So we're looking to bring on, there's probably about 14 people or so on the project. And the major thing we're looking for, obviously, if you've got experience in migration, that's a plus. If if you've got the capacity to learn, that's a better or almost as good. And then if you've got a good attitude and you're not willing or willing to work long, hard hours, you know, that's kind of the icing on the cake to us.
Well, that's
primarily.
Go
ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's kind of what I had to do with the last project. It was we had to migrate it all over to the India team, and I was part of the train-up. I had to train some of the guys and make sure and follow through on all the details. So that's definitely something that's you know, within my abilities. And learning, I've always had to teach myself.
I hear you. okay, well, that sounds good. I'm kind of in the same boat with you. Everything I've learned, I've kind of had to teach myself one way or the other. So so that's kind of a high level of the project of what's going on. Again, a lot of these projects tend to be fast-paced anyway, but this one I think is going to get accelerated pretty quickly and ramped up pretty fast. So what we really need is we've talked to some people, and I know that probably shouldn't say it like this, but we've talked to people on the phone, Joseph, that just asking them a few technical questions, they get a little rattled. I mean, not rattled like, oh, gosh, I'm nervous. I mean, rattled like, oh, man, I'm pissed off. You know, how dare you ask me and insult me by asking me questions? Well, I guarantee you that the customer will ask and bombard us all with questions of things. So
certainly,
attitude is of the utmost importance. And that's, to me, that weighs really, really high on the list, the ability to handle some frustration and some stress. Now, most of us like to have a beer or 10, and so we'll do everything we can to sneak out and have a beer or so after work. It is going to be a 24/7 operation, so different shifts are going to be divided up. Exactly who and what and how many is going to be on each shift is yet to be determined. So would you be flexible for the possibility of working, let's just say worst-case scenario, you're working all midnight shifts?
Yeah, that's – I'm at your disposal. I've already considered the project. I have an idea of what to expect, and I've already I've considered it very carefully, and I'm fully committed.
Okay. All right, well, that sounds good. We got about another 10 or so interviews to do. So Michael should get some answer back from us here in the next – well, it's supposed to start either next Monday or the Monday after. So we're doing everything we can to tweak for next Monday. Oh, where do you live, Joseph? I know I've got that. I saw it on your resume.
I live in Whiteland, Indiana. It's almost a three-hour commute to Fort Wayne.
That's right. So Fort Wayne would have been fantastic for you. Matter of fact, Michael, I don't know if you got a chance to tell him or not.
No, I did not. That's what I was about to interject, Eddie, is I was doing a little bit of multitasking. If you've not covered the site change for the first part of the project, that the last conversation I had with Joseph was when my understanding was Fort Wayne.
Yeah, exactly. So it got thrown onto us late Friday evening, and we threw it to Michael, about the same time or thereabouts, that the customer now wants us. There's more restricted access required inside the Fort Wayne, Indiana plant, so now the customer said that they want us to be in Maryland. So would you have an issue with traveling out there?
Traveling to Maryland?
Yes.
It's a flight, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, whatever the project requires, I'm willing and capable of doing it.
Okay, and the site is right out. I've not been there yet, but one of my counterparts has, and it's literally a mile or two. I think the hotel is a mile from the airport, and I think the client site's about 3 miles from the airport. So we don't need rental cars or anything like that. We'll probably just get one or two people to get a rental car, and we'll just kind of carpool it.
Okay.
And or catch a cab, you know, back and forth if need be. So, and that's another thing is expenses need to be down. So the company will pay expenses, but they're in, but you know the way in which they're invoiced is kind of the same as the time. So the checks will come out on those around the first or so of each month. So it just comes up to they want everyone to keep the expenses as low as possible. But then again, I think most of us kind of tend to do the same thing anyway. You know, we don't want to have $400 meals or anything. All right, well, that sounds good, Joseph. I appreciate your time. And
you're welcome.
Unfortunately for you, I do wish that it was closer to Fort Wayne now. But even for me, Fort Wayne's driving distance for me as well. I live in just north of Cincinnati, so I was all ramped up to drive there too. And so were two of the other architects. So two of the other architects live in Chicago. So there's four architects on the project. Two of them live there, and maybe the third might too. Then I live in Cincinnati. So Fort Wayne, we're all pushing really, really hard for Fort Wayne because it was driving distance for all of us. Anything to keep my butt out of an airplane seat. I mean, I'm way too often. Hey, that sounds good. I appreciate your time. And Michael should have an answer back here in the next day or so from us. We're going to do everything we can to expedite the results of these things because obviously we need to come to some final decision fairly quickly.
Okay, great.
All right. Do you have any more questions for me?
No. I think whatever else will probably be covered by Mike, and I just await your response. I appreciate
it. Okay, sounds good. Joseph, thank you, man. Appreciate
your
time.
Bye, Joseph. Welcome. And you'll hear back from me as soon as I have work.
Very good. Thank you, Michael.
No problem, man. Bye-bye.
Bye.